Hey, Rhodes.
Howdy do.
Hey, you want to know where you can find us?
Why don't you tell me there, sexy
boy? You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. And they're on Anchor, where now we have a donation button. So if you guys want to donate to help our cause of becoming a better podcast, then
yeah, we're going to spend all your money on dick for breakfast and cocks for lunch.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't mind, I guess. But it's their money, I guess.
Pussy for supper.
Pussy for supper.
Yeah. You know.
Supper.
Suppers. Din-dins, as we calls it.
So do you have a topic for us today?
Yeah, today I want to talk about wanderins.
Wanderins?
You want to talk about the wanderins? All right. So this is where
wandering oranges?
That's stupid. Is that that from the show?
It's Mandarin oranges.
Dumb. Oh, I thought you were talking like that annoying orange or something.
Oh, no.
Well, we're not talking about Mandarin. We're talking about wandering. Flip that M upside down. Make it a double V.
That's true. That's
it
what it is.
True. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can write it as a U.
You could, but nobody does. It's M's should be called double N's.
M's? Should be called double N's?
Yeah. How about instead of an N, it's a single M.
The English
language is weird.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Anywho's, wandering. So...
Mandarin
have you heard
oranges.
Of, shut up. No, no
sorry,
Mandarin
sorry, sorry,
oranges.
Sorry.
Wander your ass over to a grocery store and get something to eat before you start the show.
I haven't oatmeal. Okay.
Native Americans, cookie. You've heard of, was it like a spirit quest? Where basically, you go kind of on a spiritual journey, but it's actually a physical journey too. It's supposed to sort of fast. You stop eating. You're supposed to minimize your take of water. Sometimes hallucinogens are involved. But basically... you go away from civilization, you go out into the woods or to the desert, wherever there's not people, and you just sort of walk. And I guess maybe you're supposed to think about things, or you're just supposed to let things happen and see what is shown to you.
So it's like bittersweet. You get to be away from people, but you also got to walk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're walking away from people, which always feels good.
That's true.
And the thing is, this tradition seems to be in a ton of cultures. It's in Australia. The indigenous people there call it walkabout. And it's basically the same premise. You walk away from the people. You're intending to come back, but you'll just sort of wander away and get visited by spirits or you see things. You're supposed to limit your intake of food and, you know, or just survive directly on your own. There's also a similar thing in old Scandinavian cultures. I guess the Vikings had it where they'd go away from their culture, live in the woods or on the snow for a bit. And I guess to kind of figure things out, but also usually visions are entailed. And like, that's where I wonder if that's where we get the whole idea of like the quest, you know, going out there on your own and making something of yourself. But the idea is that you go off by yourself.
Yeah. So it's a spiritual quest.
It is a spiritual quest too, but it's also like, you know, everything quest. It's you figuring out who you are. I believe there's also similar things in Africa.
That's how gay people find out they're gay, huh?
That's how straight people find out they're straight.
That's dope.
How do you know you don't want a penis in your mouth until you walk, you know,
until you have a penis?
You just really like, yeah, how can you prove it? It's like, man, I could eat anything. And then sort of pops up, anything? Now, obviously, there's a woman version for that too, I'm sure, but still.
I could suck anything.
It does seem, yeah, just suck everything all dry. But, you know, to be fair, I don't see this, I'm not too familiar with this happening too much with women in the groups. I've heard of there's things where like they separate the women and they'll do like things, but it's usually together. It seems to be mostly the men and these cultures throughout the world who are sent on these quests that they're supposed to go out by themselves and, you know, discover who they are.
I feel like if I would go out and discover and like go on a spiritual journey by myself and wander into like a desert or something, I don't feel like either I wouldn't survive or I'd start seeing crazy shit.
That's what
like
you're supposed
shit.
To see crazy evil shit, and you're supposed to overcome it.
Oh,
you know what?
Okay,
that's what it is, man. And I guess if you don't survive it, that's part of the risk you take. It's a life journey.
Yeah, you're
supposed to see where you're going, but it makes me wonder: is this something that we've taken from our earliest cultural heritage, or is it something that's ingrained in us genetically? Where at a certain point, you have to say, "I need to separate myself from the tribe for a bit," and I think that makes a little bit of sense. Because whenever you're in a community or a group, you're defined by the boundaries of that community or group, right? But if you're out on your own and you're really sort of, I don't want to say testing yourself, but just sort of, you have no expectations put upon you. It's just you. And maybe that's where you start seeing things. It's part of like your, I know there's a thing where if your brain craves stimulus. So if you're not getting any stimulus, it starts making things up. So maybe that's part of it. Your brain is like, it finally gives you a chance to talk to yourself. True, it's inner terrifying. Silence. That's the point. You fight the terror. It's not supposed to be not scary. It's supposed to be terrifying.
Well, I remember I actually heard a creepypasta about...
You fight the demon that is yourself.
About basically these people would know how to... You would go on this like... you would do this ritual.
What's the ritual?
It was one of those ritual creepypastas.
Which one of the rituals was it?
So I forgot what it was like that you did. But anyways, you would be able to get in touch with your self-conscious. And so basically, your conscience saying whether to do right or wrong, it would be basically like personified, and you could it would talk to you instead of just
feeling,
sending you signals. You know what I mean?
You would actually hear it say, "You need to set a fire."
Yeah,
exactly. To save your life from the cold.
So it was like you talking to yourself, which was very interesting because I was young, so I was like, what if I did this and I could like talk to myself and maybe it would give me some knowledge? Because it also, I believe it would help you. It could reach into like the deepest memories.
This is what this is about.
Yeah.
The spirit quest. It's about getting in those spots that you don't want to touch.
Because I mean, your brain does remember a lot.
Right? You have a lot of things stored in there that you don't access. That is true.
And it's kind of crazy.
Suppressed memories. And they're usually the traumatic ones. Uh-huh. It's usually traumatic or boring memories that it condenses.
Why is it? It's like a compressed file.
That's exactly what it is.
It's just like compresses in your mind.
And I guess you need to access it sometimes, you know, to sort of get your shit sorted out. I mean, sometimes you got to go through your hard drive. You know, there's a theory that, okay. So let me cut back again. You've heard about like whenever you pray or meditate, you get a feeling of some sort of other spiritualness. You know, it's the angels, it's God, it's, you know, Buddha, whatever, the spirit of the universe. And you can feel a presence. And now sometimes you feel it within, sometimes you feel it without, sometimes it's both. But there's a theory that is the origin of all spirituality. It's something in your brain. It's sort of like you're sort of working. It's not just a compressed file. It's an actual program in your mind. It's like a backup system of you that's paying attention to all the little details that you don't want to pay attention to yourself because it would just bog you down. And this is where instinct comes from. It's you're compiling all the data on a subconscious level. And whenever you learn to listen to the little pings, like it notifies you of like, you know, okay, this smell with this sound, okay, that smells kind of musky and I'm hearing like a low vibration. That means that there could be a predator around. Now, you don't figure all that stuff out yourself, but your subconscious pings you and you get a sense, oh, there's something over there, I should avoid it. However, there's thought that some people who are in tune enough with this, or if you're out in nature and you're not getting too much extra stimulus, you could actually maybe hear a voice. You'd have true interaction with this, and it would seem like another. It might come to you as a spirit of an ancestor or just a divine being, because that's what you would listen to. So maybe we should find this creepypasta ritual and give it a shot in modern times. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I've actually been wanting to go on a spirit quest. I know a friend of the show too, Chris, has also expressed interest in a spirit quest. And it could be that we've all just been seeking this connection with our, you know, something. I don't want to say necessarily heritage, but it is something.
Maybe we just all need to go to therapy.
Yeah, and you know what? That is what it is, though. That's the original therapy. You work stuff out. And sometimes people can't, you know, people can listen, which feels better. But sometimes you need to hear your own voice. And maybe that's how we did it back in the day. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what a therapist is supposed to do, right? It's supposed to basically unravel yourself so that way you can understand yourself.
I mean, that sounds right, but I'm sure if you asked a therapist, they'd say something else long-winded that they're like legally obligated to say. Yes. No, I'm not here to blah, blah, blah. I'm here to blah, blah, blah. Blee, blue.
Because, I mean, I've known people that have gone to therapy and I've been wanting to myself, but not even like as a there's something wrong. More like there's things in my life that I just need simplified, and I need a little bit of advice of how to deal with them and how to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think therapy kind of gets this rap as needing to fix something instead of trying to improve something. I think maybe we got to see it more like sort of an exercise or a general like going to the doctor. You're not always looking for something wrong. You're seen to see, sometimes you go to see what you could do better. Like, you can be healthy and be still be healthier.
And it's like, I guess that's what the spiritual quest is. It's like, you understand that there's nothing, or there, maybe for some people there was something wrong and they needed a vision to kind of help guide them through. Maybe like their ancestors would come and like they would feel their presence and it would help them through this time that they were going through or something. But it could also just be like they felt that they could improve in their life. They felt like they had more of a, they wanted a drive to be able to become something more in their tribe or wherever they're from.
Yeah, that's exact. Well, a lot of the cultures would it wasn't always a profound thing to talk to the spirits. In a lot of cultures, it was, and to this day still is, just a normal part of daily life.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of like tarot card readers and psychics make their living. It's not like, who's the love of my life? It's just a little general signpost. Like, you're pointing out, you're not necessarily giving someone a map. You're pointing out signs saying this could mean this, but it could mean something else. And sometimes you just need to hear another person say it. I mean, it's like looking at a stick and being like, is that a stick or a stick bug? Sometimes true. You got to ask another person and be like, that's definitely a stick bug. It's like, that's what I thought. Now I can avoid it.
Would you want to unravel your deepest, darkest memories and your deepest, darkest thoughts?
I don't, but I feel, and here's the thing though, just because I don't want to, doesn't mean
you shouldn't.
I think I should, exactly that. You know, I mean, I don't want to exercise, but I know that I should. So that's maybe it's one of those things, like I need to be, you know, maybe I need to really look deep down in there so I could stop dealing with stuff. I mean, it's like nobody, it's like when you get a flat, when you get a flat tire or something goes wrong with your car or something breaks in your house, the first thing you do, the easiest way to know something's gone wrong is that you start denying something has gone wrong. It's like, you hear a flat, I didn't get a flat. Your refrigerator broke, it's not broken. You can see the light off and like everything's leaking and you'll still start touching random things in your refrigerator to see if it's cold or not. That denial is the first step.
That's very true.
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't mind going on this spiritual journey, wandering.
Dangerous.
That's what I was going to say.
And it could be dangerous. I don't just mean like, and I'm not even talking like ghosts are real and they're going to stab you in the gut. I'm talking about, it could be the ones that we're talking about could be physically dangerous because you could have whatever the effects of dehydration could cause, brain swelling, and also because you're supposed to go out in the wilderness alone, it could be dangerous because anything could happen to you and you might not get any help for like however the time is allotted that you've told someone to wait before they come looking for you.
Do you think maybe walking in like a natural park?
Oh yeah, like there's definitely been a thing about, quickly finish on the thought too. There could also be sometimes like you could just have something psychologically wrong or that you're sensitive to and it could just break your mind. Like how some people try drugs and something about having their brain go off the normal path just destroys them as a person. Not all the time, but we've all had freakout stories that's one in a million, dude. But there are people who do that. They're fine and they saw something in their head that they didn't like and it shut down everything. But to your point about just walking in a park, yeah, there have been studies about something about just having plants around can be therapeutic and something about being in nature, I guess. I don't know if it's chemicals the plants release or if it's just coming out of your natural element. The peacefulness is very pleasing to a person.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that was our natural habitat.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, I mean, even then, people had, you need society, you need to live with people, but you also need those breaks so that you could keep society good.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
You think if people, you think if people were just around people all the time that it would drive them mad, but.
No, like, honestly, like, you can still survive like that and be stressful. Here's the thing. I've heard that people in solitary confinement, you can go, you're the one who told me that a podcaster or a YouTuber that you watched was, like, in a box for, like, 48 hours.
It's this YouTuber that me and Roman watch.
Okay, yeah, and he, like, it's already started having issues, like, within the second day, or within the first few hours, I believe.
Yeah, it was
minutes,
very...
wasn't it? He thought it was already a few hours, and it was only a few minutes.
It was, like, I think he thought it was 12 hours, and it was only, like, 5 hours or some shit like that. And which is kind of crazy, because you lose track of time so fast.
And the thing is, whenever I've heard people who got, like, lost out in the wilderness, they say they have opposite effect. They said they feel like they might be alone, but they don't feel... They might be by themselves, but they don't feel alone is the way they put it. They just felt like there was this sort of extra thing out there. Like they didn't feel like they were being stared down. They felt, I don't know, like I said, I think it really is just instinctual. It's like a part of you could survive out there. Like a dog or a cat, you know, they can be live all their life in, you know, the city taken care of. You put them out there in the woods and it's going to suck for maybe the first couple of days, but something will eventually click and yeah, perfect. And it'll just sync up like, this is what I'm supposed to do because the noise gets canceled out because we get used to stimulus coming from around us. But, you know, whenever you shut it down and listen, maybe that's whenever you can really speak to yourself and be like, oh, man, it's not that I need other people because I need them around me, but it's I don't need to depend on them.
I mean, there's even the point. There's even those two, those weird like tube things that you put, not tube things,
SpaghettiOs?
The
sensory deprivation tanks. Yeah. Where you can go in. But that's a totally different one.
You think?
It is.
Because I mean, wandering.
It's the reverse. It's not like wandering. It's a very different effect because it's artificial and it's like you're blocking things out. Now, while that might give you a quicker, it might be a faster way to a point like that, but I think it could almost be too fast. Because here's the thing. In nature, you're going to see stimulus. You're going to be getting, you know, trees or desert or something, and it's going to be a world around you. You know, there's a vastness to it when you're truly alone out there in the world, as opposed to I'm in a blackness, and it's like if I reach my arm up in the air, I'm going to hit like something, and you might get claustrophobia or something. You don't get claustrophobic out in the wilderness. There is another thing. I think it's called agoraphobia. Basically, it's just like everything's out there is too open, but no, it's different. It might be similar, but it's like the difference between being high and drunk. It's technically the same, but the different substances affect people differently.
That's true.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it like that.
I think about it all the time, just walking away from everything.
I guess we could do both and see the difference.
True.
See what helped us more and what brought us down. But, I mean, everyone's different, so.
And that is the thing. Yeah, everybody, you know, this might not work for you. Something else might.
If some people have gone through traumatic things, it could definitely be hurtful, I think, in a way.
It could be extremely hurtful and extremely helpful.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about it. There could be someone who's totally fine, you know, that might get lost in the woods, and all of a sudden, it just wrecks them as a person.
Like, there's this thing that I saw, and it says, if you close one eye, you see nothing. If you close both eyes, you see black.
Ooh.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Well, it's like thinking people who've were born blind, they apparently, when there's surgeries, some people who are blind certain ways could get surgery and they could get their sight back. But they'll straight up tell you a lot of them get depressed after it. You know why?
Why?
They don't have a sense of blackness before.
Oh.
Isn't that weird to think about? It's like all of a sudden, and it's like that's one of the reasons why a lot of people who are blind have trouble with sleeping, because they don't get those the exact same signals that we pick up just with our eyes. Just even when you close your eyes, light's going through it. But whenever it's reconnected, you know, it might give them sight, but it would also give them darkness. It's sort of a twofer. And I've heard some people say that they don't think they could go back.
Sense of like what is darkness.
Yeah, when you get something, you learn to miss it too. It's like a lot of people, like people out, you know, in other countries, they don't miss not having TV because they've never experienced it. So it's like it might be cool to have that experience, but you know, it's like, I think it's the opposite of that saying. There's a saying, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Does that matter?
I know a bunch of people, who, including myself, who might say that's a stupid fucking saying. No, that's wrong. I wish I had never gone out with that person.
We need a nice, lovely girl to come in.
Maybe I'll meet her on the Shadow Quest. I mean Vision Quest.
Shadow Quest.
Yes.
That could be a game.
My dark queen, come to the realm of the living.
Do you want
to
make a game called Shadow Quest?
Yes, where you got to go find dark spots.
Oh.
Oh, something's dark over here. Found it.
That's it? Yeah. That's the whole game? Game over?
Oh, how about, okay, check it out. You just walk around with the camera on your phone out, and every time there's a shadow that's dark enough, you log it. And your quest is to fill up the screen with blackness. But if you get too close to it and like the screen, everything gets too clear, the blackness disappears. So you're actually searching out darkness.
Ooh, darkness imprisoning me.
Exactly.
This is the second podcast that I've...
Darkness imprisoned me.
That's the second podcast that I've referenced, one by Metallica.
Oh, okay. Nah, yeah, dark, that's freaking awesome. Love Metallica. You know who wouldn't like the darkness? The reverse vampires.
Reverse vampire, reverse vampire. Run from the dark and live in the light.
What do you think you would see on a spiritual quest?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. But I really feel like I'd hear voices pretty quickly. Something tells me that I would hear whispers pretty soon.
I feel like I'd die.
You feel like you'd die? Maybe you would die as a person and come back as a different one.
There's the whole thing with Buddhism, right? Where they believe that
you haven't told me what you're thinking yet, so I don't know.
That, like, where you think you would the whole thing is that you die, and depending on how
your karma or drachma from, like, your life will determine your next life.
Yeah. Is it Buddhism?
I think so.
It's something like that. And it always seemed really an interesting theory.
Wait, I think that might be Hinduism.
Oh, maybe.
Could be a combination of. I think Buddhism has a version of that, but I'm pretty sure it's different.
Yeah.
But you think it might be something like that, but in this life?
Like the afterlife?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Like, so are you saying that you think a vision quest
I mean, I'm not, like that? I'm not Hindu. But
yeah, you don't have to be Hindu to think about reincarnation. I mean, you could believe in whatever you want. It's America.
Yeah, it is definitely a very interesting way of thinking about it. Because I thought about it whenever I was younger. I was like, I had told my mom that I said, what if there's a certain amount of souls in the world, and then whenever you die, you become someone else or something else? And I still wonder what she like thought in that moment of like,
this kid's
is my kid a Hindu?
Do I gotta tell this kid? It's like, no, you don't get it, dumbass. There's more people than there has ever been. Or what if there's just a bunch of souls waiting, and it's
that's why the trees that we cut down.
Yeah, man. And they're like, thanks for freeing me. At last, I could steal your soul.
This is a joke that made me laugh so much in a YouTube that I watch, in a YouTube channel. And it's the whole thing about the theory that some people believe the government controls the weather.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you see those planes go through that tornado and stuff. What do you think they're doing in there?
You know, there's a thing, though. That one soul can become multiple souls. You can be multiple reincarnated people at one time. Yeah, that's a thing.
Like we're all doing the same thing?
No. Like I'm just saying, like you branch off. Like sometimes when you die, you don't become just one other person. You could become three. And that's like how you get extra people. You know, it's like, and they're different aspects of yourself that you have to come to terms with different things. So you might be it's like birth in the spirit realm. It's like you have enough growth, spiritual growth, that eventually you branch off, but you're not done yet living. So part of you might stay, and eventually a part of you could ascend and break the cycle of life. Because there is still like a heaven or a higher spiritual plane in reincarnation. The point is that we have something to learn here, and then in the next realm, we have something to learn there.
What if slowly we're just becoming more and more evil because our spirit, which was once like whole, every time they have a child, he gives like a part of his soul to his kids, and then whenever he's reincarnated, that soul goes somewhere else. So that bigger soul becomes something huge, like something that someone's gonna become. You know what I'm kind of saying? Like someone becomes more powerful or more big or something like that. Yeah. And the smaller soul is just like whatever it does with its life. Basically.
Why does it make it evil though?
Because slowly we're just with less and less of a soul. And but it would be some.
It's not that there's less of a soul. For the way even you're explaining it, it's something growing. It's not that you're lesser. It's that you're an extension of. It's like you wouldn't call the root of a tree or the branch of a tree, a lesser tree. It's the tree itself growing bigger. Think about that.
Oh, wow.
Think about this. Here's another one.
Okay.
The roots of a tree are the branches in the ground, and the branches of the tree are the roots in the sky. Mind blown with you. Blowed it. I blowed you. I blowed your mind.
Shut up. You blowed me.
That is, we're all just roots in a tree. And there's no just. Well, I am the whole tree and I am part of the tree at the same time.
You think religion started like this? Like there's just two guys talking and they're like...
guys. Let's be about you guys. We're not sober. And they're like, hey, man. And it's like, what's up? It's like, man? What if... that spaceship we came down from was like a seed from a tree. Yeah, yeah. And these planets are like the dirt, right? I'm following you, man. I'm following you. So it's like, you know, whenever we put our genetic code in all these weird little animals floating around, it's like the tree is growing. So we're part of them and they're part of us. That blows my mind, man. Hey, I got an idea. Sick, I got an idea. I got an idea. I got an idea. What? Let's kill all these lizards. What? Let's just kill them all. Yeah, we could start with new lizard people. They could be small and funny, and they could have you see that weird little one, that real little one over there. Yeah, man. See, he's got those tiny little feathers. Oh, they call those fur. Yeah, fur. Let's make more animals like that, and then let's make some of them grow tall and walk on two legs. What? Damn. You can't. They'd be falling over all the time. I know, it'll be freaking hilarious. All right, I'm with you.
All right, I'm with you.
Thus, religion began.
How do you think, what was the first religion?
There's no really knowing what the first religion is, but I know the first recorded one, I think, is Zoroastrianism.
What's that?
Oh, you know what? Technically, that's written down religion. Zoroastrianism is like, it was a worship of a sun god, but that was like from the first civilization. But here's the thing.
I mean, the sun god gives you life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the sun gives you life.
Yeah.
You know, you deify it if you want. But I think from cave paintings and that too, I think it was originally sort of ancestor worship. Like, we believed that whenever people died, a part of them stayed alive and they could interact with the world still. So they would, like, you know, that's when they started burial rituals and stuff like that. And I think there's some theories that the first gods were actually real people who were great warriors or something in their life. And maybe they became associated with something. So you think, okay, man, this guy was a great warrior. You know, he's maybe not my direct ancestor, but I'm still going to keep praying to him. And then it's like, I'm going to pray for rain. And then lightning cracks in the sky and starts raining. And you're like, oh, man, my ancestor controls the rain. And as it goes down the line, you know, nobody remembers that they were genetically related to this person. That was like their freaking uncle or something. And it's just like he became a god after that. That's where we got godhood from. So I think it's animism. I think it's like we used to believe our ancestors had souls and maybe animals too. That is, I believe, our theory on the first religion. Yeah, it wasn't really necessarily a religion. It was more of a set kind of beliefs that went tribe by tribe. But
because to me, I'm very, you know, I do consider myself a Catholic, but I am very open minded to other religions, and I give a lot of respect to other religions, and I find beauty in them somehow. You know, like with all of them. Like, for the instance, the whole Hinduism with like the souls being reincarnated into something else. That's,
you know, that's good, though.
It's very, it's a beautiful way of thinking, like, you know what, whenever I die, I will be reincarnated to, like, that's why I need to do good in this world. And it's like, that's a very beautiful thing.
And it's part of you, I think, you know, you're sympathizing with other people, sharing your wonder and, you know, your thoughts on what happens next. It shows that we all have a shared concern about, you know, the future, and that we're all really kind of the same. Yeah. Really different, entirely different, but sort of the same.
Because I'm not stuck thinking like, no, this is the only thing I could think of, and this is the only thing that makes sense, so nothing else should matter, you know, because that's a very narrow way of thinking of things. And
yeah, man, I agree. Though, to be fair, I wish I had that kind of certainty, that absolute faith of this is how the world freaking works. It's like, oh, give that to me.
That's true. If you just knew all.
You were just like, oh, man, like, we're not even knowing all. You just, like, had that certainty. I don't need to know everything as long as I was certain about things.
What if someone came down from the heavens and told you, I'm going to give you all of the knowledge in the whole universe? No, in the whole, like,
you know what?
Galaga.
I don't already know what I'd say. So you decided to take LSD while you're skydiving. That sounds awesome, man. That sounds awesome. It is. Now, do you want to be one with the universe? Yeah,
just,
man.
Let
me see what you got. Let me see what else you got. It's like, whoa. I'm sorry, man. Wrong pocket.
Do you think, what would you say?
To what? I want all the knowledge?
Yeah. Would you want it?
Well, you know what? I think there's a thought that you're going to get it anyway. All the knowledge at some point. You become the universe, man.
Because I would be very afraid.
I'd feel like, you know what? I don't need it now because I think I'll get it at some point and I don't feel like I'm ready for it now.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would like to know a little bit more. So show me what you got. Just not everything all at once.
Yeah, because I feel like it would just overwhelm you of how small you are compared to all these huge things that
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
you know, especially if so many things are wrong that we've been thinking in this world, it's going to overwhelm you like, oh my God, everything that we've known is incorrect. And now I know all this correct things and no one's going to believe me.
You know, it's like being in a relationship. It's like getting into a relationship. You want to know everything about that. You want to know everything about the person. You don't want to know it all on the first date because no one would believe you. I'm telling you, man, she eats live squirrels.
Live?
Live squirrels. They are still alive and squeaking. She eats them from the tail first. Did you see her do this? No, well, kind of. I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. No, you wouldn't. The way she said it, I was certain. Well, you sound crazier than this person I haven't met. Same exact premise of meeting the divine being from the heavens.
I wouldn't mind. I would love to at least know more than I do now. Maybe if we've been thinking wrong about something, I wouldn't mind just knowing about it. But with that saying, I would like to bid everyone adieu.
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 Adieu. Adieu. Adieu. Adieu.
Thanks for listening, guys. We love you. And we hope you listen to our other podcasts. We have 9 more other ones up already. Well, by this time, it's going to be 10 or 11.
Check the backlog, basically. You don't got to do a countdown about it. It's like, just look at what else we got. Hopefully, you dig it all. Talk to us, too. Let us know. I'm on Twitter. You can find me at RODEZM8.
And don't forget to, if you want to follow us on those other platforms that I said earlier in the podcast, and if you want to help us out, donate, it's going to go to getting better equipment, hopefully more podcasts out. And don't forget that this is the Thumbs Up Cast, which is connected to Thumbs Up on YouTube. And we're going to start putting out so many videos up there, and you guys are going to love it. Love it.
Don't forget, our Gmail is biggerthumbsup@gmail.com.
You find Rhodes at...
I already said where you find me. Instagram. I told them I'm on RODEZM8.
On Twitter.
Yeah, they said that. You made me say it twice. Are you on Instagram?
I want people to follow you.
Instagram.
Rho_Re.
You're on Instagram.
Joe_Re1.
How do you spell that? J-O?
J-O_RI1.
Do you spell out underscore?
Yeah.
He drew a light, pointed down, and drew an imaginary line. That's awesome. We love you guys.